Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 8, prayers by Queen Kunti and Parikshit Save, text number 41. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Atta Vishva Isha Vishva Atman Vishva Murte Svakeshu Me Sneha Pasham Imam Chindhi Dridham Pandushu Vrishnushu Ata Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishvamurte Svakeshu Me Sneha Pasham Imam Chindhi Dridham Pandushu Vrishnushu Ata Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishvamurte Svakeshu Me Sneha Pasham Imam Chindhi Dridham Pandushu Vrishnushu Vishnu. Ata Vishveshu Vishvatman
Vishvamurte Svakeshu Me
Sneha Pasham Ijam Dirhi Pandudradishnishu Ata Vishveshu Vishvatman Vishvamurti Svakeshu Me Sneha Pasham Imam Chindhi Sneha Pasham Zavishnushu Ata Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishvamurti Svakeshu Me Sneha Pasham Imam Chindhi Dridham Pandushu Vrishnushu. Ladies, Ata Vishveshu Vishvatman Vishvamurti Svakeshu Me Sneha Pasham Imam Chindhi Dridham Pandushu Vrishnushu. Ata Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishvamurte Svakeshu Me Sneha Pasham Imam Chindhi Dridham Pandushu Vrishnushu. Ata Vishveshu Vishvatman Vishvamurti Svakeshu Me Sneha Pasham Imam Chindhi Dridham Pandushu Vrishnushu. Ata Therefore Vishva Isha O Lord of the universe, Vishva Atman, O soul of the universe, Vishva Murte, O personality of the universal form, Svakeshu, unto my own kinsmen, may my Sneha Pasham, tie of affection, Imam, this, Chinti, cut off, Dridham, deep, Pandushu, for the Pandavas, Vrishnushu, for the Vrishnis also. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please therefore sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. Purport. A pure devotee of the Lord is ashamed to ask anything in self-interest from the Lord. But the householders are sometimes obliged to ask favors from the Lord, being bound by the tie of family affection. Srimati Kunta Devi was conscious of this fact, and therefore she prayed to the Lord to cut off the affectionate tie from her own kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. The Pandavas are her own sons, and the Vrishnis are the members of her paternal family. Krishna was equally related to both the families. Both the families required the Lord's help because both were dependent devotees of the Lord. Srimati Kunti Devi wished Sri Krishna to remain with her sons, the Pandavas, but by his doing so, her paternal house would be bereft of the benefit. All these partialities troubled the mind of Kunti, and therefore she desired to cut off the affectionate tie. A pure devotee cuts off the limited ties of affection for his family and widens his activities of devotional service for all forgotten souls. The typical example is the band of six Goswamis who follow the path of Lord Chaitanya. All of them belong to the most enlightened and cultured rich families of the higher castes. But for the benefit of the mass of population, they left their comfortable homes and became mendicants. To cut off all of family affection means to broaden the field of activities. Without doing this, no one can be qualified as a brahmana, a king, a public leader, or a devotee of the Lord. The personality of Godhead as an ideal king showed this by example. Sri Ramachandra cut off the tie of affection for his beloved wife to manifest the qualities of an ideal king. Such personalities as a brahmana, a devotee, a king, or a public leader must be very broad-minded in discharging their respective duties. Srimati Kunti Devi was conscious of this fact, and being weak, she prayed to be freed from such bondage of family affection. The Lord is addressed as the Lord of the universe or the Lord of the universal mind, indicating His all-powerful ability to cut the hard knot of family affection. Therefore, it is sometimes experienced that the Lord, out of His special affinity toward a weak devotee, breaks the family affection by force of circumstances arranged by His all-powerful energy. By doing so, He causes the devotee to become completely dependent on Him and thus clears the path for his going back to Godhead. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Bhadakamalam Shri Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Prachadine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine Mukham Koroti Vachalam Pangum Lam Vigate Girim Yad Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam. Queen Kunti Devi is blessing us greatly by this wonderful prayer to teach us how to become detached from family affection. Or, as Prabhupada points out, we actually expand the family. What is my actual family, is it? Is it my blood relatives? What kind of idiocy is that? Do I think I'm the body? Is it? If I actually understand that I'm the spiritual being qualitatively one with Krishna, then immediately every living entity is my family member, you see? Even the mosquito is my brother, you see? So to cut off the tie of family affection is actually to expand the family affection to include all living entities. It's interesting the history of ISKCON, how much we were mostly hippies back in the 70s, and we had cut off. That was the thing of the hippies, was to reject the family. Even there was that song, Bob Dylan's song, you know, come mothers and fathers throughout the land, your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. You see, the sons and the daughters said, the heck with this family affection. They embraced some other concept of family. And Prabhupada then taught us the perfection of that broader conception of family, is it? Spiritual platform. I really like this first sentence of the purport. A pure devotee of the Lord is ashamed to ask anything in self-interest from the Lord. It's not saying he doesn't ask, but everything he asks is selfless. You see, that's the pure devotee. Whatever prayer he has is selfless prayer. It's not that he doesn't pray. We see, are the prayers of our beloved Srila Prabhupada. Now, my Lord, I'm just a puppet in your hands. Make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. So it's not that we don't pray. We were taught prayer incorrectly growing up, you know. The idea of prayer was very incorrectly taught to me. I remember when I was a little kid, my mother said, little Stevie, what do you want for Christmas? I said, well, Mommy, I'd like a pair of cowboy boots. So every night, my dear mother, she would come to me as I was going, taking rest at night, and say, now pray to God for a pair of cowboy boots at Christmas. And sure enough, on Christmas morning, what was under the tree? A pair of cowboy boots. So this is why I was taught how to believe in God, you see. God is the supplier of cowboy boots. But Prabhupada taught us this is wrong. Taking God as order supplier is wrong. We didn't know. As Christians, Jews, we were taught this is what you do. You pray to God for this and that. You see? But the Bible actually is very clear. Lord Jesus simply prays, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. You see? You see? Now we're talking pure prayer, you see? You don't pray for your desire to be fulfilled. You pray that you can fulfill the desire of God. You see? That's perfection. Krishna is actually teaching pure bhakti, but the Christians don't realize. You see? After reading Prabhupada's books, you can actually capture the essence of Christ's teaching. You see? Father, not my will, but thy will be done. That's another way of saying Sarvadaman Pradidraja. Christ is teaching the same principle, you see? So this pure devotion is a very, very special position to be in because the pure devotee actually becomes the owner of God. Even though God owns everything, he becomes the property of his pure devotee. So why try to go after a few trinkets of this material world, which are just slipping through your hands anyway? Even if you own a vast fortune, even if you're Lord Brahma, the chief demigod of this entire universe, the whole thing is slipping through your hands anyway, you see. So the intelligent person, he has one interest and one interest only, and that is to cultivate pure love of God. That's the intelligent person. We pray for intelligence. We pray for that intelligence. Nothing desire except for loving service. That is Krishna consciousness. So Kunti Devi was seeing there was some tinge of family affection there and she wanted to kick it out. She wanted to get rid of it. She is a great Siksha Guru for us. A great Siksha Guru teaching us how to become completely purified. We may think, but if I give up my material attachments, how I can be happy? That is our foolish sentiment. We still are so idiotically thinking that we can get happiness from material sense gratification, subtler growth, you see. That is our foolishness. We're still thinking there's something there for me in the material nature. That's why we're not experiencing Krishna directly at every minute. As Prabhupada wrote me in a letter, he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. You see? The fact that I'm not doing it tells me I'm contaminated with material desires. You see? So what do you do when you've been practicing Krishna consciousness for almost 50 years and you still got material contamination in the heart? Well, you got to beg. Got to beg to get free from it. There's a special prayer for that. You know that prayer? It's on the drum here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. My dear Mother Radharani and my dear Lord Krishna, please free me from all of these material desires, that my only desire will be to think, speak, and act in such a way in every time, place, and circumstance that is absolutely, totally pleasing to you, you see. We have to kick out all this garbage that's just pulling us down, you see. Actually, there's only one thing we need to be happy, and that's Krishna consciousness. We keep thinking, well, I have to make this arrangement, I've got to make that arrangement. That's an illusion. We don't need to make any arrangements other than coming to the point of pure devotional service. It's the only arrangement that will satisfy the self. Anything else is just dream, 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 dream. That's all it is. It's the damn dream. You see? If I have this, I have that. A nicer apartment, or I can have this wife, or I can, you know, it's just, it's illusion. Some more money, more prestige, better health even. Ultimately, even your health is not required for pure devotional service. You can be the healthiest person in the whole world, you can be sick as a dog. It doesn't matter ultimately. Thing to do is we have to learn the art of seeing how Krishna is blessing us every minute with unlimited mercy. At every minute, Krishna is putting each and every one of us into the perfect situation in which we can fully realize Him. Krishna doesn't want us to be an illusion. Krishna wants every one of us to become fully qualified to re-enter into our original identity you've once had in His pastimes in the spiritual world before we made the stupid mistake of thinking maybe there's something better than this. You see? Krishna wants us back now in that pure moon. You see? And He's giving each and every one of us perfect facility. We just have to learn how to recognize Him. Krishna is not screwing us. He's blessing us unlimitedly at every minute. Somehow or other, we have to capitalize on this unlimited good fortune that each and every one of us is being blessed with at every minute. It's called sobriety. Or it's called transcendental bliss. The more you can actually understand the unlimited kindness, unlimited mercy of Krishna, and reciprocate it with it in everything you do, in every thought, every word, in every circumstance, the more Krishna will become manifest for you. We should come to the point where we can feel Krishna's presence at every minute, wherever we are. At every minute, you see. We should come to that point. That's where we're supposed to be. So we got to kick out with Buddha all this, the lust, kick it out. Anger, kick it out. Greed, kick it out. Laziness, craziness, kick it out. These anarthas, you see. Anartha navritti. Get rid of the dirt. When you pass through, what do? You flush it. Isn't it? If we leave it in the commode and want to relish, looking at our stool, oh, just see the stool. Or do you want to flush it and get rid of the damn thing as soon as possible? You see? So, you want to flush your anarthas, or you want to enjoy and relish your anarthas? You see? Flush them out. Get rid of them. trouble is we still think we can enjoy the material world. That's the difficulty we all have. We still think we can enjoy this nonsense position of being separated from Krishna. We still think that. That's why we're not seeing Krishna face to face right now. So we have to take the advantage of these great sages like Kunti Devi, you see. Understand the mood of Kunti Devi. Embrace that mood of Kunti Devi, you see. Kunti Devi was so advanced, she was finding that stressful situations were the best position for Krishna consciousness. Vipada shantitam chasta tatta tatta jagan guru babanam dashanam yashad apunarvavadarshanam. Let there be more and more difficulties. Please, my dear Lord, shower the difficulties upon me, because that's when I'm really Krishna conscious. If things are too easy, I forget you. But when there's great difficulty, then I must intensely take shelter of you, and that's when I can personally see you, you see. Mm-hmm. And by seeing you, apunar bharva darshanam, I will not see birth and death. Mm-hmm. So when we might be so advanced to beg Krishna for difficulties, at least I'm not. Maybe you are, but I'm not that advanced. I'm hardly beginning this process. But at least when difficulties are there, we should try to see how they are Krishna's mercy upon us. Of course, we all have a difficulty. What is that? A material body. That's a difficulty to begin with, just having a material body. Tune in, turn on, and bliss up. If we actually learn how to tune in properly to the mood of pure devotional service in every circumstance we find ourselves in, at the temple, out preaching, just in our bodily maintenance activities, learn how to tune into Krishna in every situation. Krishna has orchestrated this situation for me right now so I can fully surrender myself to him right now, you see. If we can train ourselves how to always see in that way, it's called beating the mind with shoes. Okay, mind, now we will be Krishna conscious today. My dear mind, today we will be purely Krishna conscious. We're not going to flirt around with semi-bhakti today, dear mind. Today we want pure bhakti only. In fact, my dear mind, from this moment forward, pure bhakti, nothing else, everything else will be rejected. Do you understand, my dear mind? You see? This way we have to train ourselves, you see. There's actually one saying, if you can conquer your mind, you can conquer the whole world. Pretty powerful saying. In that connection, there's an amazing quote from Prabhupada. I remember it again and again. It's so powerful. He says that if one becomes an offenseless chanter of the holy names, he becomes completely free from all the nama parads, he becomes Jagad Guru. And under his influence, the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. Well, is that worth striving for? To become an offenseless chanter? I think it might be worthwhile to kick out all the offenses. I think it might be ecstatic to do that. I think it might help you in your preaching work. I think it might help us in attracting the whole world to join this movement. If we become completely free of all the offenses, what do you think? Prabhupada said, if one becomes completely free from all the offenses, he becomes Jagad Guru, and at his influence, the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. So you can do some kirtan even during the Java period. You see? You can be engaged in the activity of trying to say the world even while you're chanting your rounds. Let me chant my rounds purely because it's having an impact on the entire universe. Even the quality of our japa, can you imagine? So therefore, we should just really be at every minute trying to tune in this mood when we're chanting, when we're hearing, honoring prasadam, associating. You see? Sometimes we see devotees, there's just too much in finding fault with other devotees. We see it sometimes, you see. We have to realize how fortunate we are to have the association of even one Vaishnava, you see. Even one Vaishnava. We'll just speak of a whole movement of Vaishnava, you see. We can't even calculate our good fortune, actually. It's beyond our calculation. Even having one devotee's association, you see. So we really have to learn how to appreciate each other in spite of our anarthas, you see. We have to see the sincerity of the devotees. We have to learn how to appreciate and worship the Vaishnavas within our heart. Why? Yame bhakti jinat partha, name bhakti tate janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, tame bhakti tamamata. My dear Arjun, the one who is my devotee, name bhaktas, he's not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. You see? So how much am I devoted to the devotees? How much do I care about pleasing the devotees? You see? I think, well, who the hell are you? Why are you bothering me? Sometimes, you see, we feel that way. Just see the defect, you see. We have to learn how to appreciate the Vaishnavas. Loving the Vaishnavas, serving the Vaishnavas, this is our perfection. This was Prabhupada's sister Pishima, Babatarini Devi Dasi. She always wanted to serve the Vaishnavas, serve the Vaishnavas. She felt so humble. After sitting and hearing the lecture, she would wash the floor, though I've contaminated the floor. She was so humble. But she was always wondered, how can I serve you? What will you eat? What will you eat? She just wanted to serve the devotees. What a great example for us, Prabhupada's sister, Pishima. That we called her Pishima. Her name is Babatarini, but she was Pishima for us. You know, auntie. You see? So we have to learn how to love and appreciate all the devotees because that is the only way we can love Krishna. You cannot love Krishna ignoring the devotees. It's not possible. To the extent you love devotees, to that extent your Krishna consciousness becomes awakened. So this community here is such a great facility for loving Vaishnavas. There's so many wonderful devotees here. I just come here, I feel like I'm swimming in an ocean of nectar. There's so many devotees who've been serving for decades and decades and decades. You see, we have great scholars here like Judhakarma Prabhu, you see. And super enlivened preachers, Amal Bhakta Maharaj, you see. Archita Prabhu, Savas Prabhu, so many, the name is, and the list goes on and on and on. Such a great good fortune to be in this place. Where the world headquarters, Prabhupada's world headquarters originally. Prabhupada is so much present here. So many pastimes here. It's just an amazing place. You all are so fortunate to be in this place of Prabhupada Leela. Where the Leelas are still going on. Prabhupada is still engaging in those pastimes right now for those who have the eyes to see. It's still going on here. He's still giving those classes. He's still going on the walks on Venice Beach. It's Nitya Leela for those who have the eyes to see them. I'm myself blind. I don't have such eyes. But I know these activities. Prabhupada is still present here. Don't think it's just Prabhupada is simply here in a murti form. Prabhupada is physically, well, not physically, but Prabhupada is fully present here. Simply have to learn how to connect with Srila Prabhupada by our every thought, our every word, every deed. Let me do everything for Prabhupada's pleasure. Would Prabhupada be pleased with this attitude I have right now? Would he be pleased with what I'm saying right now? Would he be pleased with what I'm doing right now? You see, we should always be introspective. Would this be pleasing to Prabhupada, this class I'm giving right now? Or the way I'm hearing the class? You see, always in that way, introspective. Would Prabhupada be pleased with the way I'm offering the arati, or the way I'm cooking the offering, the way I'm preaching? You see? In this way, we should always be introspective. I must always please Srila Prabhupada. I must always please my Diksha Guru, you see. I must always please the Vaishnavas, you see. In this way, we're always beating our mind with shoes. So I must be very, very careful to not say, think, or speak something which is inappropriate. Let me always do the right thing for Krishna, for Prabhupada, for my Guru Maharaj, for the Vaishnavas. Let me always do the right thing, you see. Without any partiality towards my family members or members of, you know, it's like even in ISKCON where we have this different gurus, there's different families in that way too. Not that I'm partial towards the disciples of my guru, you see. These should all be cut up, you see. We are one family here with the Prabhupada Nugas. We must be very tight-knit family, working together to help each other realize Krishna and working together to make this whole world Krishna conscious. It's actually predicted. It's a wonderful verse in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. So nice verse. Kaler Dasa Sahasrani Madbhakta Samti Bhutale Ekavarna Vavishyam Ti Madbhakteshu Gateshu Cha. There's a 10,000-year period in the Kali Yuga, it's the Chaitanya era, you see. In that era, Krishna says, Mad Bhakta Samti Bhutale, my devotees will fill up the whole world. The whole world will be filled of my devotees, you see. But after that 10,000 years, Ekavarna Bhavishyamti Mad Bhakteshu Gateshu Cha. After my devotees leave, all hell is going to break loose. Prabhupada told Allen Ginsberg, he said, full facility for meat eating. I will eat you, you will eat me. After the 10,000-year period, the whole planet will be cannibals. Can you imagine? Los Angeles would be like a jungle, cannibal jungle. The whole planet would be a jungle of cannibals eating each other, you see. There'd be, if Prabhupada said, a few pious will remain. They'll be in hiding somewhere. And those a few pious souls remain to begin to pick up the Satya Yuga. But we have an incredible opportunity now. We're only 500 years into the Chaitanya era. You see, there's actually a prediction: the whole world has become Krishna conscious. So let's try to pull it off. And we got CNN promoting us now. Let's take this momentum and go for it. You see. Let's preach in such a way with such purity of our chanting, such purity of our moods, such purity of our relationships, that the whole world will come now and join this movement. Let us have this determination to see that fulfillment of the prediction of the Brahma Vivarta Purana ASAP, you see. Some devotees actually want to take birth after birth to see it happen. I was talking to one devotee the other day, you see. The whole idea of, you know, seeing the whole world embrace Prabhupada's movement. Wow. That'd be as good as going back to Godhead. If the whole world, you see, high court judges all wearing tilak. Everybody reading Prabhupada's books. Just imagine if the whole planet was doing that. You see? So we have a great opportunity, you see, try to pull off this global spiritual revolution. Prabhupada started at the age of 70, really. And look what he did. So many of us now are in our 70s. So this, now we should get our second wind. We couldn't do it before. Now 70 is a magic number. 70. Now it's time to really get going, you see. I was kind of messing around for those 5 decades. Now 70 is time to really, now time to really embrace that mood that Prabhupada had and go for it full steam ahead. Let's make the whole world Krishna conscious, ASAP, you see. So anyway, we have a few minutes left. Any questions? Archita Prabhu, my beloved godbrother.
Hari Bol Sankarshan Prabhu, thank you very much.
Let's see if I can hear my, turn on my hearing.
I'm thinking of you as the opener, eye-opening, mind-opening, heart-opening. Where is Bhakta Vatsal? You may have to repeat.
You're going to be my hearing, physical hearing aid? Good.
So again, thank you for the class. I see you as an opener, eye opener, mind opener, heart opener. Tell them that.
Yeah. Well, if Prabhupada allowed me to do that, that's his mercy upon me, because I'm just really a piece of stool, really. But
however, there's one statement you made that may require a little bit more clarification.
All right, clarification.
And that's about loving the devotees.
Loving the devotees.
That love has to be expressed based on where you are. In other words, a pure devotee, like Srila Prabhupada, can express love and interact with anybody because he cannot be contaminated. But sometimes we see new devotees, they want to imitate that mood and they associate willy-nilly with anyone and everyone and they get dragged down.
Speak louder. Just speak. Don't whisper. Just talk.
He's talking about having you change your intelligence to discriminate between different levels.
It's there in Prabhupada's books. There's higher, equal, and lower. And you deal with them differently. That's a fact.
Yeah.
But it's all based on loving relationship.
Yeah, but one has to know where one is. Because if you're in a neophyte stage and you try to associate intimately with those who are also neophyte or lower, you're going to get dragged down.
Yes, but if you study carefully Prabhupada's books and you're very honest, you can understand where you are.
Yeah, the example Prabhupada uses is that, you know, the Vaishnavas have love for everyone, including all animals, insects, but you don't go to the L.A. Zoo and try to feed the lion. You don't do that. Don't try to personally give a chapati to a lion to save him. It doesn't work.
Yeah, the thing is, if you're sincere and you're reading the books and you're understanding Baba's teaching, it's not difficult. Krishna will help you. If you're sincere, Krishna within will guide you how to reciprocate with each Vaishnava in the perfect loving way. That's a fact.
Thank you.
Maharaj.
But just to add to that, you say to be sincere, serious, and suitable. But we also
have to be independent on Krishna to get that grace so that we can, with that grace, tune into that other person's level or mentality or emotionality, and so that we can harmonize and bring out the very best in that person. If we do not depend upon Krishna for that very sublime grace, we may not.
And it's our false pride. False pride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happens is that we try to dominate, or control.
Right.
We try to direct,
right,
instead of trying to make this person whom we're trying to help,
right,
to become Krishna conscious. Let them feel like they are the controller in a sense. Give them some uplift. Appreciate their, as you were mentioning, their good qualities, and doing so, immediately the person will listen to more of what you have to say.
Prabhupada was totally expert in doing this. Totally expert. even though we had so many faults, he knew how to encourage us and to guide us and to bring the best out. So we have to see how we have to follow that mood of Prabhupada in the way that we preach. Very merciful and very encouraging. I mean, the letters I got from Prabhupada, it's unbelievable how much he encouraged me. When I got initiated, Prabhupada was in London and Vishnujant Swami did the yoga in Austin. So I mailed my Guru Dakshina to Prabhupada in London. He wrote me the most wonderful letter. So encouraging. I just told Prabhupada I wanted to spread this movement. I made a little comment. And he wrote me back, such an encouraging thing. It encouraged me for 50 years, almost 50 years. Prabhupada said, I can see you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy, eager for spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. He said, now continue enthusiastically as you were doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. Wow. I mean, that one little statement has empowered me for decades. That was, even though, you know, I was a crazy hippie, practically speaking, but Prabhupada gave me so much encouragement. You see, so that's a very good point you're making, Maharaj. Very good point. Anything else? Yes.
Wait.
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for the wonderful class. So in this verse, Queen Kunti, she was praying to Lord Krishna to help her to cut off her relationship with family members. Is that means we devotees should not care about our family members too?
So he's saying that in the verse Queen Kunti was talking about being severed from family attachment.
Yeah.
And so he's asking if we should also have an attachment from our families.
Prabhupada was very much was like the idea that every ISKCON devotee should give their parents a Bhakti Godhead magazine subscription. So no, we don't. It's not like Prabhupada, any parents came, Prabhupada would preach to the parents also. There's so many examples. So Prabhupada is very much into reaching out and giving mercy to the family members. So it's not that, you know, who are you, get the hell out of here, kind of a move. No. You see them as spiritual beings who are suffering in the material existence, and you reach out to them and give them the mercy. That was Prabhupada's mood.
This just came to my mind. I remember listening to a class of Prabhupada where he talks about the fisherman. He goes fishing, but he doesn't get in the water with the fish. So
he was reading from Prabhupada saying that a fisherman goes fishing and catches fish, but he doesn't get wet. So he catches the fish, but don't get wet. In other words, preach, but don't let their association influence family.
Yeah, that's right. A preacher is very expert at giving the mercy without being polluted by their lack of Krishna consciousness. He's not carried away thinking, well, Krishna consciousness is really not absolute and, you know, their opinion is also good. No, a devotee is absolutely convinced that Krishna is speaking the absolute truth and that we need to find the ways and means to bring the suffering people of this world to Krishna consciousness. Next. Have y'all had enough? Anything else? If not, I can head out to Austin. That's it. So I was absolutely blown away to see, come here and find out CNN is, my God. What an incredible thing happened yesterday. And now they want to, they're bringing more people to see the kirtan. They were so impressed by the kirtan. Y'all are really, really getting the mercy from, special mercy from Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. This center is really, really getting special, special blessings. So take full advantage of it now. And who knows what the results of this broadcast is going to be when they put it on CNN. Who knows the results? I mean, this could be humongous for our movement. So let's keep this momentum going. Make the world Krishna conscious as soon as possible. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I'm happy if it inspired you. Oh, Maharaj, you're so kind. I appreciate it very much.
Somebody left
there, Mahaprasadam. Oh, wow. Wow, now I'm even more mercy. just beg Krishna, ask Krishna a blessing for the prema bhakti.
Get me 5 pounds of bhakti and get it immediately.
Hare Krishna.
You were preaching about
this and Shishadam for you. But,
you were preaching about how we should love all the Vaishnavas.
Yes. They're all Vaishnavas. Actually, they're all Vaishnavas. Every single jiva in all of existence is a Vaishnava. They've simply forgotten them. So we have to revive their Krishna consciousness. That is our love for them. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Hare Krishna.
Same question. How to harness more power from Mahamantra?
By giving up all the offenses? You study the 10 offenses in the...